Hey, what's up, everybody? This is your girl Ash.
And I'm Sam.
And welcome back to another episode.
Ooh, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Oh, jeez. I bet everybody's going to be over. Welcome back.
Listen, sometimes you got to sing it out sometimes. But anyway, so this is part
dos.
Dos.
Two.
Dos.
This is going to be a doozy.
This part is going to be a doozy. So, we basically, if you remember last episode, yes. Part one, we have Jasmine, who was a sweet kid, but then she turned into a goth punk kid, and she started dating a 23-year-old, which is at the age of 12, which is disgusting.
Disgusting.
So
we tell about their family.
Yeah, we told about the family, how Jasmine was raised in a very loving home, even though both of her mom and dad suffered from a substance abuse before they even got married and had kids. But they grew up in a very loving and strong home.
And sober home.
And very sober. Jeremy, aka
Stanky,
he grew up in a not so good home. His mom was alcoholic and he was abused from a very young age, starting with his dad, and both of his stepdads abused him as a kid. So he didn't grow up in a good home at all. He was a goth punk kid. He hung out with younger kids, but he said he was also a 300-year-old werewolf.
Don't forget that.
And he has tainted the underworld name. I refuse to believe him in any of this. He is nothing to me, okay? That is my favorite movie. He has ruined it for me, okay? This is part two. So this is actually going into
the day before
everything happens until, and then we're going to get into how everyone was killed, okay? Do we want to shout out anybody?
Just everybody that supports us.
You know, shout out to just everyone who supports us.
Listens to us every week.
Follows us. Oh, I gotta say this. I'm gonna put this in the beginning and not at the end. But we do have a brand new Facebook. It's called The Sam and Ash Experience. I don't think it says podcast on there.
No.
It's just the Sam and Ash Experience. So we do have a brand new, spanking new car smell podcast page, okay? On Facebook.
Along with our email.
Yeah, our email. If you don't hear this enough, is samandash.exppodcast@gmail.com. That is for listener tales. Please send us listener tales. Or requests for future episodes. But really, truly, we are dying to do a listener tale show. I'm dying to do this, okay?
I want to hear the spooks.
I want to hear the spooky ones. I would actually want to hear some, if you have
survival.
Yeah, survival, or, you know, if you've been a part of a crime, or, you know, something. But we're dying to do a listener tale episode. We also do have a Twitter, which is Sam and Ash, PODCA1. And also our Instagram, which is Sam and Ash_EXP_podcast. And we do all of our posting. We actually have pictures to go with every story that we do. So if you don't know what the giggling granny looked like, I have pictures. Don't know what a boo hag is, I have pictures.
Yeah, yes, she does.
And she hates them.
Freaking, you got me with the kukui.
Did you see the kukui one?
So we tried it. Like the Bell Witch and stuff like that.
We try to give you visuals.
Because
for
with
people.
Me, when I hear something, I want to know what they look like. So I'm always constantly Googling and stuff like that. So we just make it easier for y'all to get the content, see what we're talking about.
Yeah,
kind of give the face to
it makes it easier for people who are visual people.
So hopefully, y'all will join our Facebook group and join our community and have conversations and really. Join, you know, this big bond that we want to talk about true crime, spooky shit, and just share your stories. So,
yeah,
everybody, secure your wig,
buckle up, secure your wigs, make sure it is glued down. I want it to be flapping in the wind, nowhere. I don't want it to be
secure the wig 2020.
Now, secure the wig for life, period.
Right.
Because I don't need y'all's wigs to be tumbling down the road like a tumbleweed. I just don't need any of this.
So, this is going to be a hard...
Okay, yeah. So, this one's going to be... So, this is going to be hard because this is the actual crime itself.
Yeah, and the aftermath and how they get caught and what happens to them.
Okay.
Which is, like I said, going to piss y'all off, so just be ready.
You might want to grab tissues if you're really, you know, sensitive. Just want to let y'all know.
You just said I'm sensitive.
Shut up.
Okay.
Now, let's set the scene. Dim the lights.
Oh, God.
Not pictures. Saturday, April 26th.
Oh, my God. You said you wouldn't do it.
No, that was the last part. This part is different. I'm narrating this. Yeah. Picture it. Saturday, April 22nd. Okay. So, the family sits down together and eats hot dogs and barbecue in their backyard. Which
that
is always
like a good night. I'm always up for some sausage wraps.
Stop. Listen, y'all will know my obsession with sausage wraps through this whole entire podcast.
Every time we smell barbecue, we want to slide in and be like, you got those sausage wraps.
Because it's just, it's the quickest thing to cook.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, and it's the best. All you have to do is grab one, put a little barbecue sauce on it, and you're good.
He says that he wants a sausage wrap.
You got to catch these hands.
Do not threaten my baby.
Okay, so Jacob is playing in the yard with his friend, Gareth, and our lovely friend, Jeremy, a.k.a. Stank, is buying a case of beer because he's a freaking adult.
Right.
And he has... Yeah. And has an 8-ounce bag of pot. That's a big sack of pot. Right. Hey. He smoked 2 bowls with his dealer. And then he went home where he planned on getting drunk. He then drank 12 beers. Now listen to just this cocktail of stuff he done went through.
Right.
He drank 12 beers.
So not only did he smoke pot.
Okay, he smoked 2 bowls. He drank 12 beers. Proceeded to raid his mom's beer stash. And when all that was gone, he took out a bottle of vodka. During this whole thing, Jasmine had a bubble bath that night because she wanted to pamper herself. And that's what you do when you plan on massacring your family.
I mean, that's fine.
I mean, I do that, you know. Right? Just put on a face mask.
Have, like, opera in the bag. Candles.
Right, candles. Some Calgon.
Take me away.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so her friend texts her and was like, do you want to go swimming or to the mall tomorrow? Which she replied to, I can't, because you're about to kill your whole family.
Right.
You suck. Around 9 p.m., Jeremy, and we have no clue how he's functioning because he done did too much, pulls up to his friend Jordan's house in his mom's truck, which Jordan was trying to avoid this fool because he had already asked him to help kill his girlfriend's family. And Jordan was like, hell no, I don't have it in me to kill someone, much less a whole family. He goes back home and tried yet again to call poor Jordan, who once again says, hell no. Which, shock. I was clearly caught off guard when he said no.
Right? What?
What? Jeremy, he's such a peach, y'all. He then tells Jordan, if you or anyone ever tells anyone about this, I'll kill you and your family until I find out which one of you was the rat.
So basically, he knows that everybody knows his plan. So he's because like, listen, since you're not helping me, if you or anybody tells what's going on, I'm going to kill everybody, you, your family, and everybody until I get the rat weeded out, basically.
Which is so stupid because you are sitting here blatantly telling everybody about your plan to kill somebody. You're an idiot. You are an idiot.
Okay.
You 300-year-old lichen.
I knew you'd come around.
No, I'm not coming around. So Jordan then replies, so you're gonna kill all these innocent people? And Jeremy said, yep.
Nonchalant. Yep.
I mean, he then watches his favorite movie, Natural Born Killers, which I gotta get you to watch that.
Yeah.
To get himself amped up. So he's like, we about to do this.
They're right, I'm gonna do it this way, like them, yeah.
And you still suck. In the movie, the couple kills the girl's parents and goes up to her brother, who's actually her son because her dad raped her.
Spoiler!
And says, now you're free, and leaves. This is where the couple said it would be different that Jasmine would actually be the one to kill her brother. At 3 a.m., Jeremy went to visit his coke dealer. His dealer's girlfriend said that he allegedly seen him do about 6 lines and drink some vodka.
Okay, so let's get this straight. He's done 2 bowls.
He did 2 bowls. He's done
12. He drank a case of beer, his mom's beer, vodka. Now he did 6 lines of coke, allegedly, and more vodka.
And then he also drank Vampire brand wine, which I need to look that up. Is,
yeah.
I need to see if that's like a sweet red or.
It tastes like salt.
Blood.
It tastes like iron. Copper.
And he took ecstasy. So,
Lord, how is this guy still functioning?
Because listen, when I tell you, a few weeks ago, we went swimming. Now, I got to tell this story, because baby, it was hilarious. And for all the people who listen to this, who was there, y'all know what happened. We went swimming. Before we went swimming, we went to
Specs.
We went to Specs in the neighboring town. So, you know, I got some vodka. It was like pink lemonade vodka, which was so good. Pink lemonade vodka. I also got some peach crown. I got, your mom bought that whiskey.
Yeah.
And then
it was like baked apple pie or something.
And then
your
sister-in-law bought that beer.
Yeah.
That Natterdays.
Natty Light with the...
Yes, it was all Natterdays. We was like, man, we just want to just chill because it was a gorgeous day.
Oh, yeah.
It was absolutely gorgeous.
It was the first real, like, good
swim day.
Yeah.
So we basically turned into, like, a whole party. It was pretty fun. So we had sausage wraps, and I was excited about the sausage wraps because, you know, that's my thing.
Yeah.
So,
we had drinks.
And we also had the margarita stuff. We went to Walmart, remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was mixing it.
Yeah. I stayed with my own.
Yeah, she stayed with like the pink lemonade vodka. And I had like.
And we mixed it. And I didn't have it straight. I mixed it with Sprite.
Yeah, we mixed it with Sprite. And it was like really good.
And
it was dangerous.
This was before it even started, I took a drink and I looked everybody in the face and said, oh, this is dangerous.
It's dangerous.
Because it just tasted like a refreshing pink lemonade. No burn, no nothing. It was just smooth. I drank, and you're in the pool, you're sitting around, you're drinking. I think I had like, and it was in big cups too.
Yeah, it was like, wasn't it like 24 ounce cup or?
No, it was bigger. Was it my green cup?
Yes.
Yeah, it was like a 40-ounce cup.
Child, she was knocking them back. I don't even know how I got out of the pool. If you've never had to get out of a pool, like, even like an above-ground pool, getting out of a pool drunk is, like, dangerous. Because you have no clue if you're going to flip.
So, I mean, that night, I forgot I had amnesia. I couldn't remember how to walk. Fell through a table.
Yeah, she fell. Okay, so she's over here eating stale trail mix. Don't know where the trail mix.
I can't. Or the,
we had some boudin too.
Boudin. She doesn't
remember eating the boudin, but we were eating boudin.
Yeah.
And, so.
It took 3 people to take me home because I did not.
She was drunk, like blackout drunk.
She was like, stand up. And I was like, okay. And he was like, stop leaning towards me. You're going to fall. And I just looked at him in his eyes like, watch this. And he said, I just let go and just flew back.
Fell through a table. She forgot the dog. They forgot Mr. Weenie. Her sister-in-law took him to the house the next day. Oh my!
And this was just over a few drinks. I don't think I'd be breathing.
No,
after all this,
you probably been dead a quarter somewhere.
D-E-D.
But
dead or propped up.
A corpse. That was a wild night. It was a fun night.
Right.
We had fun.
But I mean, to him, he had been doing drugs and
drinking
since he was young, so his immunity was probably way different. But still, even if your immunity was high, if your tolerance was high, that's still a lot of shit.
Yeah, that's still a lot of stuff. Because me personally, I can drink somebody under the table.
Oh, me too.
But all this stuff he done took, I would have been high out of my mind. I'd probably been dead in the corner somewhere. Around 4 a.m., he went to a convenience store to get some gum because Jasmine hated when his breath smelled like smoke. I hate when people breath smell like smoke.
Right.
That's like the most sickening smell ever.
Well, not just that, you know, go to murder her parents. You want to have minty fresh breath.
That's fine. That's fine. And then he proceeded to snort 2 more grams of coke. That's fine, too.
Right. That, I don't see how the hell he's functioning.
That's called a high-functioning drug addict.
Right.
Alcoholic.
Right. Substance abuser.
Yeah, substance abuser. He goes to Jasmine's house, throwing a pine cone at her window, letting her know that he was there. She goes down to the basement, where she usually sneaks out and lets him in. He has a knife on him and makes a ton of noise. Fine.
Because he's obviously
he's
drunk.
A skill killer.
Wow.
Okay. Deborah wakes up and thinks that her daughter is sneaking out, so she runs to the basement to stop her, only wearing a blue nightgown. She meets Jeremy, who has a knife and that stupid black mask. If you remember from part one, he had a black neoprene mask, you know, like the ones we wear now since, you know, COVID and everything. So he wears it all the time because he thinks it's, like, super cool.
Right.
And he sucks so bad. He's wearing black and fishnet sleeves.
Not, like, just sleeves with the fishnet.
I was like, I thought it was going to say he's wearing black and fishnet stockings.
He probably had those on too under his pants.
He probably had on fishnet stockings too. He's wearing black and fishnet sleeves and a black bandana wrapped around his neck. He's so stupid. He immediately slashed at her with a knife. She throws up her arms to protect herself, and that's when he ends up stabbing her a dozen times. Mark, the father, hears her screams and runs down in his boxers with a screwdriver and goes to defend his family.
Go, Dad.
Go, Dad. Jeremy,
like he said it, he's a bear.
Oh, a bear of a man. Jeremy says her father came at him real fast trying to stab him.
Well, duh. You just stabbed his wife.
Right? He said that he was scared to death and, like, fighting off her dad while he's trying to stab him in the chest with the screwdriver. But unfortunately, he got the screwdriver away from the dad and threw it away. At this point, they were wrestling, and he says that her dad fights with him, shoves his thumb into his eye sockets. He started stabbing at Mark, but Mark was fighting like hell to save his family. That's hard. I can't.
Yeah.
Because he's such a big bear,
yeah.
And I love
and
it.
Just trying with all he had to protect his family. Fighting to the end, really.
Right. He was finally able to get out from under Mark and started stabbing at him. Even with all this happening and being stabbed, Mark still kept choking him. Jeremy started stabbing him again. Jasmine ran down and seen her mom on the ground bleeding. And then seen her boyfriend and dad fighting and screamed at each other. So she turns around and runs like a dumb bitch that she is. She runs back upstairs.
Yeah.
She heard her dad ask Jeremy, "Who are you?" before falling down again. The last thing that he said was, "Why?" while laying there looking up at Jeremy. He then looks down at Mark and replies, "You treat your daughter like shit. She wanted this." Okay, so I need you to breathe for a moment and let it sink in a little bit, okay? The last thing this poor man heard after fighting with all he had to protect his family was those words. "Your daughter wanted this," which makes me sick to my stomach. It really does.
I mean, to think that was the last thing that this guy heard, right? Like, "Your daughter wanted this," and knowing that was, breaks my heart. Especially because he loved his daughter.
Loved both his kids.
Right.
Loved his family.
He loved his family.
Everything.
He tried to protect them, and that's, he had to know that was why. Sick.
Hate him.
Right.
Both of her parents at this point were dead. So I met Jasmine upstairs in the kitchen. She met me with a hug and a kiss and said she loved me. I waited a little while before heading upstairs to see what she was doing. I assumed she was grabbing belongings when I hear people talking. Here's the trigger warning that I was talking about, okay? This is when they get to her younger brother, Jacob. Jasmine goes up to her little brother's room, who is upset and yelling at her because because he's asking her what's going on. He was hiding in bed, so she goes over to him and cradles him, telling him to be quiet and go back to sleep, that everything was fine. She then wraps her arms around his neck and tries to choke him, but he fights with her and takes off out of the room. She knew that Jeremy was coming upstairs because he was hyperventilating and staggering, making a lot of noise. There was blood all over him, and as he walked up the stairs, he drug his sleeve all over the wall.
Just getting blood just all up the door.
One of them said, neither of them agree on which one said it, but said something has to be done with him. So Jacob fought as hard as his dad did. The police said that the blood was literally on everything in the room. His blood also soaked the carpet in the hallway, where something major must have happened. He was repeatedly stabbed, and eventually one of them slashed his throat, causing him to choke on his own blood. Jasmine slashed his throat before calmly walking past him and barely washing the knife, before turning around and grabbing her bag. She told him to just go downstairs and to wait for her. She then gets her mom's purse and leaves. Jeremy is paranoid and high drunk AF and takes off running down the road before turning back and gets in his truck and leaves Jasmine there going home.
Can you imagine? Like, he's paranoid and high. He's like, I gotta get the fuck out of it. So he forgets she's even there and just leaves, bounces.
He just
throws up the deuce.
He just chunks deuce and just burns off. Around 5:45 a.m., Jasmine calls a cab and takes her mom's card, going to the ATM to get money, then goes to Jeremy's house. He's in the house, showered, and the couple then takes all the bloody clothes, drives to a nearby apartment, and dumps the clothes in the dumpster before going back to his coke dealer's house. His dealer said that Jeremy was out of his mind at this point. He said he was spaced out and asked if he knew how to get the blood out of knives. Then the couple proceeded to have sex because
ew.
What do you have to do after the night that you just had? Then they went to another apartment to a rager, where people seen them making out on the couch and basically going at it in front of everyone. James Wally was the one that Jeremy confided in. He told his friend that he killed his girlfriend's family last night. And he just said all of this like he was talking about the weather. Just nonchalant.
Yeah.
After he said all of this, then Jasmine's punk ass just chimes in and says, oh yeah, we even got my little brother too. He was gargling. That is disgusting.
Like, why are people so evil?
Just senseless killing for no apparent reason.
And keep in mind, her brother was 8.
Yeah, her brother was 8 years old. At this point, you remember, the police got called. And this is like basically the next day, okay?
Right.
So at this point, the police gets called and they go check out the house. At the house, they seen a picture and noticed that there was one person missing from the house and immediately thought that the girl was kidnapped. They searched the house, but they didn't find her anywhere. They went to the school and talked to the guidance counselor about everything. Sandra Richards offered to check her locker for them because they didn't have a search warrant. Go to her locker and flips through a binder and a piece of paper falls out.
Yeah, because apparently the guidance counselor and stuff has the authority to
open a locker
and look, but they can't be.
Because they don't have no search warrant.
I don't know if that's the same everywhere, but in Canada.
When they check it out, there was a drawing of 3 stick figures burning, while 2 other stick figures point and laugh while they stand by. They then find a stick figure running to a truck labeled Jeremy's Truck.
Get out of here. It's fucking stick figures.
It's stick figures.
They wrote their plan. She basically wrote her plan out. Or if they didn't happen this way. But basically, wrote this plan out with stick figures.
That's stupid.
And labeled it.
Jeremy's Truck. She depicts a scene where her and Jeremy are burning her parents while she's swinging on a swing set. Then both laughed as they burn. She finds a note that further incriminates the couple, which now they start to believe that maybe she wasn't kidnapped and maybe has something more to do with this. The police then bring a bloodstain specialist, Sergeant Serge LaRocque. Outside of Jacob's room, he sees over 100 spurts of blood on the carpet. In the bedroom, he sees 78 projected spatter patterns. He found transferred stains at the foot of the bed. He says that this is from a source running around the room bleeding. He concluded that Jacob was attacked outside the room, but then ran inside trying to get away. After a fair amount of activity, he was found on his bed. The mom really didn't move from where she was attacked and pretty much fell where it started. One of the sergeants on the scene said, he was once in the military and never seen anything like this before. He said the dad was a warrior. He fought until the last moment. You could calculate how long the death fight lasted by how much blood was around the scene. The most touching thing was the lightsaber in Jacob's room. I suspected he grabbed it and tried to use it by the blood on it.
Aww. Remember, he wanted to be a Jedi.
I can't.
That right there breaks my... I'm done at this point.
That broke my heart because he tried to use it to defend himself.
Because yeah, they found, like, blood on it, so they suspected
him. He tried to defend himself.
Aww, if that doesn't get to you, you're basically soulless.
Yeah, you're basically dead inside.
Because that picture of him just running after he was attacked and grabbing his lightsaber...
To save himself.
To save himself is pretty much just...
I can't.
Too much.
That sucks. They found a tiny amount of blood on Jasmine's light switch. Seemed to belong to someone in the house, not an intruder. Because usually intruders normally don't turn on and off lights.
Right.
Which is true. The cops also said that it had to be the work of two or more people because of how hard the dad struggled. At 12 years and 6 months of age, Jasmine will be the youngest to be a suspect in a murder case.
That's crazy.
That is... absolutely crazy.
So basically, they just found the house a wreck. Like, the parents were, you know, the dad was
fighting. It was a bloodbath, pretty much.
Blood everywhere. The brother broke my heart.
I'm telling you, that was the saddest part.
Yeah,
I hate that.
Okay.
Now, her picture was sent everywhere. James Wally sees this and finally goes to the police.
Finally,
somebody with some sense goes to the police.
They think because all the people that he was hanging out, think about it. Drug dealers, they didn't want to go to the cops because they would be
caught up.
Yeah. So now they're like, okay, it's gone too far.
Okay, so he finally goes to the police. He wasn't the only one. Jordan, who was the first he originally asked to do the crime with, also goes to the police. You go, Jordan, because he put him down several times.
Right. He was the one that they asked when they were smoking pot in the back of
the grocery store, which is stupid. He admitted that Jeremy asked him to help him. And James said that Jeremy actually admitted to him that he gutted them like a fish. And also said Jasmine said her little brother then gargled as he was dying. The police then put out a news report about the couple, and they were now wanted by the police. Jeremy and Jasmine were now starting to get worried, so their friend Kaylee, who was the teen runaway and introduced them, was making plans with another friend named Casey and Mick to go to another town named Leader, where Mick was from. So Casey asked the couple if they wanted to go along with them, not knowing that the couple was on the run. They ended up laying down in the pickup truck
the friends
were taking. It was Kaylee, the coke dealer's girlfriend, and Mick in the front, and the two in the back laying down. Okay, it was Kaylee, and the coke dealer's girlfriend, and Mick in the front, and the two in the back laying down. A constable was working his first shift as constable when he seen a bulletin about the couple saying to be on the lookout, saying there's a bolo warning for two suspects wanting a triple homicide. They did this because friends were starting to tell the cops that this is where the couple would likely go. Now, this rookie cop was on the lookout, and around 2 a.m. when he didn't see anything, he decided to, wrap it up for night and go home and go to bed. But then woke up early around 5 a.m. and was like, shit, they will probably need gas. So he goes to the biggest gas station and waits for them, knowing what the truck and people look like. At 7 a.m., a truck matching the description pulls up with the correct license plate, and three teenage girls pile out of the truck and go inside. These girls were Casey, Kaylee, and the coke dealer's girlfriend. When they went in, they noticed a newspaper with a picture of the couple on the front cover. This was 2 days after the murder. When they seen this, they grabbed some food and drinks and the newspaper, thinking that Jasmine didn't know about this.
Which is stupid because they were
Which
like...
Which is dumb because y'all I knew about this.
Well, they didn't know.
Oh, they didn't know.
They didn't know because they had told them. So, these people didn't know. But what's stupid is they see the cover and they're like, oh, well, let me go get my gas station burrito and some chips and some snacks.
Right.
These people with the rations report doing anything.
So I bet you they would have did better if they would have had a murder snack pack.
Right.
I feel like they would have did better. Right. But they messed up and didn't have nothing.
Yeah, so they got the newspaper and went back out.
Okay.
Okay, we're there.
Okay, so they go out and tell Jasmine, who giggles when she sees it, and Jeremy starts laughing, stating that the picture didn't even look like her.
Because it was her before she turned on goth. It was like a school picture of her.
Oh my god.
Stupid, it was her!
It was her, you idiot. So Casey was like, if that was my family, I would totally freak out. But there's no reaction. There was no reaction whatsoever. According to Casey, Jasmine said to tell the cops that Jeremy picked her up at 11 p.m. the night of the killing to say with the coke dealer, and that Jeremy and the coke dealer got in a fight, which would account for the black eye that he had. They then pull into a high school parking lot trying to figure out what to do next. At this point, the girls thought for sure that they did this, so they all took a nap. I love naps.
Right?
I love naps.
I for sure think that these people killed these folks, so let's just take a nap for now.
Let's take a nap and just forget
everything. Eat some
everything.
Snack, drink your juice box, and take a nap.
Give him my throw so I can lay down, okay?
All right.
The rookie cop was following them the whole time at a distance and calls for backup.
This is his first day as a constable. You know he's just like...
Like, for the win.
Celebrating.
Like, for the win. I got him.
Right.
When the backup came, they made a plan and went to the truck where they found the couple under a blanket in the back, minus her pants.
So they were having sex in the back when they caught him, or making out and her pants were gone. So they didn't care. Like I said, they had no remorse. They were in the back just canoodling.
Canoodling. I hate that word. Oh, God. At 7:51 a.m.
Hold on. Before you even go farther, that's because you never canoodled with the 300-year-old lichens.
Shut up. Disgusting.
Gross.
At 7:51, they ordered Jasmine and the three girls into one cop car and the boys in the other. Jeremy then yells out, tell my mother she can have my TV and that I love her.
You idiot.
That's all you had to say?
Right. She had my TV and I love her.
You, okay.
And my bottle of blood.
Whose blood was it? If you don't remember from part one, please go back to part one so you can hear about the blood, because I am so confused. Whose blood was it? As they were being taken to the station, the girls start to worry. Not that they were going to be charged with accessory and murder, but that Jeremy will be charged with rape.
That's fine.
Y'all are idiots.
Priorities.
Priorities. According to Casey, Jasmine had her pants off and the police wouldn't let her put her pants back on. That's fine. So she just out there in her drawers,
right.
just prancing around. One of the girls then said that she should say that the cops raped her. What the hell?
Right.
They are grasping for straws right now. They joked that they might be searched, and Casey said that Jasmine replied with, it wouldn't be sexy even if it was a hot cop, because it's not Jeremy doing it.
Ew.
Disgusting. Oh my god, these girls were something freaking else. They're idiots.
You can tell the youngness off of them.
Yeah, because
like, oh my god, we're gonna get searched. I hope he's sexy. Like when you get pulled over. No!
Like,
you're getting arrested.
Like, you're getting arrested. This is a real thing.
Like,
that was
I wonder
going
if you can get his number.
let me get that badge number. I'm gonna look you up later. That definitely wouldn't be the conversation I would have with my girlfriends in the back of a cop car. Definitely not. They get to the station and Jazz is putting a hold on himself. Jeremy is still outside in the cop car along with the other girls. When they go back and get the girls, they had kicked the plexiglass out yelling, fuck you and fuck off to the cops. When they got into the station, the girls started making unauthorized phone calls. You know, when you go to jail, all your calls are being recorded.
Duh.
Idiot. While all this is happening. Jenny,
who's the coke dealer's girlfriend,
then steals pens and notepads, sticking them down her pants and in her shirt. So your priorities are stealing these pens and pads. You klepto.
From a police station.
From the police station. I understand if he was stealing them from like the bank. Or, you know, the people. You know, people steal vape pens.
Right, because they leave them there for people.
Yeah, or the doctor's office or something.
But no, the jail.
The freaking police station. Jenny then was quoted saying, "We were really scared. I was not a very nice person at all. I was provoking the police and calling them names because I was mad. I was in a police station and they were saying that I was wanted for murder." Really, truly, they will get aiding and abetting a felon.
Right.
Pretty much.
They could just, which they didn't know, so they could have been like,
I
didn't even know. We were just going to this guy's town.
Yeah.
To a party or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they could be charged with it, but since they literally did not know until the day they got the paper.
Yeah, I don't get that. When people are taken in by the police and they act like belligerent and stuff, mind your P's and Q's and get the hell out. When
I'm
you're acting crazy, that's not going to make
more
them.
Time.
Yeah, that's not going to make them want to do anything but put you in.
While all of this was going on, the parents were having their autopsies done. They both took about 2 hours to do, and Jacob's was done the next day. They usually check for lividity, which is when the blood flows to the lowest point, as in, like, if you're on your back for an extended period of time, your back will turn purple, because that's where all the blood settles, pretty much. So when they checked the victims, they didn't show lividity because most of the blood had already been shed.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, this is not unheard of.
Like,
really,
they didn't.
Can't.
They bled out so much they didn't even have enough blood to cause lividity.
No. In Jacob's case, he was 4'4", 68 pounds. Most of his blood loss came from his throat that severed his thyroid gland, jugular vein, and larynx. And if you don't know what a larynx is, that's your voice box. That's terrifying.
Right. It was so deep it cut out.
He's almost decapitated. Right. Yeah, whenever you sever the carotid artery, that's when you get the arterial spurts, which means, like, when you look in the movies and you get your throat cut, it's like starts spurting out. That's because your heart is still beating. That's a hole, so it's gonna keep spurting out wherever there's a hole. The jugular vein doesn't spurt, it just bleeds out really slow, which means it took him a while to lose all his blood until his heart stopped, pretty much. He also had 4 other stab wounds, 2 to the right side of his face that were slightly over 2.5 centimeters deep, and the other 2 to the left side of his chest. He also had petechial hemorrhaging in the inside of his eyelids, which means that he was choked, and that's just the blood vessels bursting, pretty much. She tried to choke him at first before he kind of weaseled out of it and ran. They couldn't really say for sure that this happened because his throat was so severely damaged. Mark, the father, had 24 stab wounds. He had 1 to his right abdomen, which was 11 centimeters deep. That's deep. He had 1 to his right lower back that entered his lungs and allowed 600 milliliters of blood to enter his chest cavity. Deborah had 12 stab wounds. The most significant was the 1 to her aorta. And once you hit the aorta, that's it. Like, you can't recover from that. That's just done. The other one penetrated her stomach. So after Deborah had her aorta cut, she was still fighting, and so was the dad. Okay,
but not long. Because
when you hit the aorta, that is it. You bleed out so fast, especially because your heart is still pumping.
And that's mainly just freaking pure adrenaline.
Yeah, this is just adrenaline.
It's like one of those things where you shouldn't be alive and fighting, but you are.
10:30 a.m. on Tuesday, April 25th, the cops finally sat down to interview Jasmine, which is really hard to do with a minor because she has the mind of a 4-year-old.
Right. And they just don't like to interview minors because they say that they don't often tell the truth.
Yeah, because they have a mild 4-year-old. They usually have to have a form that the child has to fill out every time they talk to a minor, because they just try to make sure that the child understands the severity of all of this.
Right.
Okay. The first cop, Officer Cole, tried the fatherly approach, but Jasmine just cried. It wasn't an emotional cry, but one for attention and hopes they will stop. You suck. The second cop comes in as the cool cop. Stop. He was younger and introduced himself as Chris, trying to get her to trust him a little more. Fell for this and said that she liked him and that he smelled good. I bet he smelled good, girl.
Cause that's what you do in a police.
Look, can you see him, like, before he goes in, he just sprays himself with cologne?
Oh, you smell good.
He makes sure.
What happened to old Stanky? I bet he didn't smell good.
Right.
Smelled like a wet dog. that would like it.
Oh, that's disgusting. She told a bunch of stories that took her out of the murder, but then with more pressing, she finally gave up and told the truth. She said she tried to strangle Jake so he wouldn't feel pain. She then went on to say that she went to the room to try and calm him down after Jeremy started to come upstairs. She tried to strangle Jake so he wouldn't feel pain. Says she went up to his room to try and calm him down, but Jeremy started to come upstairs and said that it was time and he needed to be killed. He was pressuring me and I stabbed him in the chest. Then I got blood on me and I freaked and left the room to clean it off. That's when Jeremy finished because I couldn't. The cop asked, was he crying? And she said he kept saying, I'm too young to die, over and over again. My heart broke just that quick.
Not only did he try to get his little lightsaber, he was just like, I'm too young to die.
Oh my gosh, he was just 8. He then asked where she got the knife, and she told him that she had it in her room and she brought it in with her when she heard him screaming and crying. She said that she had to do something. She didn't want him to suffer because he couldn't be left without his parents.
You should have killed his parents in the first place, and then you wouldn't have freaking to worry idiot. About it.
Jeremy said he did it out of love for her. The cop said, why don't you write a letter to your parents saying you're sorry? So she did it and said, I'm writing in response to the events that happened Saturday morning. Something that happened that was possibly my fault. You must know that I love you all dearly and wish you peace out there in the Summerland. That's a Wiccan reference. Oh, I like that. The Summerland. To my little brother, I apologize for you having to hear what happened and any pain I caused in frightening you. I wish I could take it all back. I wish it never happened because now I have no one. I hope you can forgive me and Jeremy too.
Fuck you and Jeremy.
Because he was under the influence of mind-altering substances and did it out of love for me. He is the kindest person I've ever met. His wishes for my happiness. Even after our fights, I'm sorry my sarcasm was taken to heart. I pray you can be at peace somehow. The cop also said that he will help her and Jeremy pass notes together. And according to the chief, no one has ever done that. They're like, psh.
They were trying to just get anything to escape these people.
Most people clam down after a murder happens, but these two didn't, because they suck.
Usually they don't talk about, like, oh, we did this, you know, writing letters or something. They clam up, no, I didn't do nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. Right. But these people, like, they're idiots. They were passing notes talking.
Wednesday, Jeremy admits to it and said that it was because of his love for Jasmine and the drugs. He even stated before it happened, he tried to talk her out of it, but it didn't happen. So without prodding, Jeremy said, oh, and Jasmine did Jacob. He said he went upstairs and watched Jasmine cut his throat. After this, she came up and gave me a hug. I had to leave and get out of there, so I did. And after my shower, she came to me in a cab. Then that's when we made plans to leave. When they told him that his girlfriend said that he did it, he started yelling, she cut his throat. She cut his throat. I didn't do it. I didn't want to kill anyone. He said he was shocked that she didn't show any emotion. When they were passing these notes back and forth, and one of them, he actually proposed to her and she agreed.
That's stupid. Like, dumb. We're in jail. We're
in jail. We're going to be in jail forever. Suspected for
triple murder.
We're going to be
but
in jail.
But will you marry me?
Yes, Jeremy, I will.
You stanky son of a bitch.
Jeremy decides to call a 14-year-old girl who he met from the mall. What?
Yeah.
What the hell?
They're in jail. I guess he was mad that she turned on him, so he's like, I'm just going to call another girl.
Oh,
obviously,
my God.
Their love did not last.
That's so stupid.
But he proposed to her.
Oh, my God. Morgan would literally sit outside the jail and hold a vigil for him because she was so obsessed. Get over it.
She was 14.
She wasn't the only one. There was a group of 12 to 14-year-old girls that would sit outside the jail and hug each other crying.
That's
so it sounds like freaking Manson.
Manson, yes.
It sounds like Manson.
People would just stand there and like
look at them like, I literally could just punch you in your face right now.
So obviously he wasn't that faithful to old girl. He was like, oh, she's gonna rat me out. I'll propose to her, but
you know what? No. In fact, on the social media sites they were all a part of, friends said that they would mosh for Jeremy every day.
That's stupid.
Y'all suck
in
so
solidarity,
bad.
We're gonna mosh.
We're gonna mosh every single day. Y'all dumb.
Oh my God. in Morbid, their podcast of it, Ash was talking about she went to a rock concert, and she was like, it's totally unrelated, but she went to a rock concert, and this girl in front of her was moshing so hard, she ended up, like, headbutting her in the chest. Really hard. She was in Snapchat, and she was, like, showing, like, and she said this person was moshing, and they hit her in the chest, and all you hear was, during it or something like that. And then the lady was like, do you think she was moshing for Jeremy Stanky? I died at that point. I was laughing so hard. And then they just started laughing. She was like, well, shit, she was moshing so hard. She probably was.
Oh, my God.
But how stupid, like, I will mosh for you, Jeremy.
Get over it. I'm so sick of folks. Jeremy wasn't so bright besides the digital footprint they both left. He was also heard by guards telling another inmate that she did end the 8-year-old, but he did her parents.
Well, the grammar on this guy.
I'm telling you.
He literally was just like, yo, my girl did end the 8-year-old, and I did her parents.
You're like, just telling did or did.
Did in. Like, who, like, just say, I killed him. Like, did
yeah, just say she killed her 8-year-old brother and I killed her parents. I mean, just
we're trying
say
to
it
fix
in.
Them. We whatever, trying to, they're crazy.
That's fine. After this, a police officer went undercover and Jeremy ended up telling him everything. On July 9th, 2007, that's the day before my birthday. Whoopsie. Okay. On July 9th, 2007, when she was 13, Jasmine was found guilty of 3 counts of first-degree murder. She was believed to be the youngest kid ever convicted of multiple murders in Canada. In the end, Jasmine ended up getting 10 years for her part in the murders because minors couldn't be charged as adults, which is total bullshit. That is stupid because she was the mastermind of everything.
Of the whole thing. She was the one that wanted it. She pressured him into doing it. It makes me sick.
Oh my God. And she was actually released on May 6th of 2016.
So this was her sentence.
November 8th, 2007, she was sentenced to the maximum penalty of 10 years imprisonment. Her sentence included credit for 18 months already spent in custody to be followed by 4 years of psychiatric institution and 4.5 years under conditional supervision in the community. In September of 2011, she began attending classes at the Mount Royal University in Calgary during the final years of her sentence. She was released from her sentence in the hospital in the fall, and it is reported that her rehabilitation was going well, and that she expressed remorse for her actions that experts thought was genuine, because they get this right all the time.
Right.
And there's another case that pisses me off because it was a guy in England and he was mentally unstable.
Right.
Unstable. And they call him the something ripper. But he was killing all these women and then he was put in a mental
institution. Casanova killer.
No, it wasn't him. Casanova killer was here in the States.
I think there was another one in England. Too.
No, this was he was something else.
Handsome.
No, this guy was not handsome at all. Period.
Oh.
he was mentally unstable.
Yeah.
But he was in a mental institution, but they kept letting him go.
Okay, think about this. Our dear buddy Ed Kemper.
Oh my God.
He got released saying that he was fine, and then he had a freaking head in his trunk, which we'll cover later because that was crazy. When he went to the psychiatrist to get his thing signed, like, they had to be under evaluation since he was so young, and he had to go to his last appointment. If they said that he was fine, it's basically, it erased all his juvenile stuff.
That's
that nobody
stupid.
Could say. He had a freaking body and head in his trunk.
That's fine.
And they approved it. So, we all know, and the whole case in. Don't get me started.
Please don't get her started.
So, all these people are getting...
just released
because
they're
all
not...
these people are like,
they're
oh,
not
they're
being... to me, they're not being thorough. Like,
yeah.
You can say, oh, I can kill 16 people right now and go and be like...
I feel remorse.
Yeah, I feel remorse and I feel like I could be let back into society now.
And
they're going to let me go.
Right. Oh, she admitted that she killed her. Let her go. Sign the papers. Move on. We have too many people in here. Let's just let go. You know, she's fine.
So,
it's fine.
So dumb. In May of 2016, She was freed from any further court order conditions, restrictions, or supervision after a final sentence in 2016. Once again, I will pound my head on the desk because of the injustice.
I want to pound my head.
Yes, because it's so stupid. Like, you sit here and you, like I said, I can say I'm fine and then they'll let me go, but at leave, I'm going to kill three more people. Like, it's so dumb.
I don't understand, and like I said, it just brings up all these other cases that I want to talk about, that we will talk about. But basically, remember that little girl and her friend, I think it was in England, that killed a couple of kids, I think. And she was like 8 or something, like really young.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have to do more research about it to be for sure, so don't hold me to this. But she was like really young, and they let her go, ended up letting her go. I get that they're young and that their brain is still developing. But my thing is, because it's easier to, they say, rehabilitate younger people because they're, like I said, their brain's still functioning. It's, they can learn better. And then they're better treated than adults. I have a hard time with this because, yes, they're still young, but they still killed somebody.
And can they still know really, right from wrong.
Can you really rehabilitate? Well, the people that are brought up knowing consequences that they are. Can you really rehabilitate a killer? Do you think that they could just be like, oh, I'll never have that urge? What if somebody makes them mad? What if somebody tries to give them rules and structures? Are they going to snap again?
Right.
If they have their own kids, are they going to snap again? Like, it's scary. And you can, if you cannot tell me 100% no, this person will not, then I don't think they could be freed. And I might get hell for that, but it's just like, I don't care what age they are. If they do an adult crime, they should do the adult punishment. That's just my little spill.
Steps off the soapbox.
Right? It's just so frustrating.
It's frustrating because, to me, I feel like there's no structure.
Yeah.
Within, like, the psychiatric world. I just feel like there's no structure. Because, like, how do you really and truly can tell if someone has been rehabilitated? Like, you really can't. Because, again, I can say I can kill 16 people right now, go to a mental institution or whatever, and say, hey, I feel remorse. I'm sorry that I didn't kill all these folks. And I think I should be let in society now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if you're a true psychopath, you're going to be convincing to someone.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like,
because
I can't.
If you look at the whole psychopath thing, they don't have any emotion. So they're used to faking that emotion to get what they want.
Oh, of course.
And not have any remorse really. But, of course, she was a minor, so nothing was released on her, and you can't find her. And I'm sure she changed her name or whatever. But the fact that she was going to college and just lived, I think it just upsets me that her family couldn't live their life. Jake had no.
Yeah, she snuffed him out.
Right. She
at 8 years old. You know, 8 years old.
Yeah,
you know,
he
had a
go
whole
to
life
college
to live.
Or whatever.
Yeah, he.
Why
had
should
a,
she be able to?
Yeah, she had a. I mean, he had a whole life to live. Her parents have lived their life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It was so sad, but they would never see their son
grow up and
for their daughter. I mean, if she would have done this, they would have still seen her grow up, get married, have kids.
But
you know, they...
I mean, they can... But
they were so
spiritually,
young.
They can still see her do all of this.
Right.
But it's hurtful because they know that she planned this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that they kind of got some peace. You know, just...
That poor dad needs all the peace that he
did. The parents need... All three of them need peace.
Yeah. But to know the last thing he heard, like...
Yeah.
Ugh,
that was so sad.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's old Stanky. So old Stanky admitted to the murder of the parents in a conversation with the undercover cop while in custody. So he was tried in November and found guilty of 3 counts of first-degree murder. On December 15, 2008, he was sentenced to 3 life sentences for each one of the family members that he killed. Let's all take a moment, and we're gonna breathe real quick. It's a breathe a sigh of relief that he is locked up forever and that he is never he will be eligible for parole after serving 25 years, and we all hope that he doesn't get released. It's bad enough that Jasmine's out there living her best life, and that is a true statement. It's bad that she out here living her best life and you snuffed out 3 of them.
Right. So hopefully he does not get
approved for that.
So, let's see, 25 years. So
I think that if they get multiple life sentences, they should not be eligible for parole.
No, so 2000 to 2018, that's 10 years. So, I mean, he doesn't have that much more to go, really and truly. But that's so stupid.
Yeah. It just makes me so mad that she got nothing, basically.
Yeah, she...
When she was the one that...
That masterminded the whole
thing.
Because,
okay, he didn't know that he was being talked to by an undercover cop. So think that he said that she was the one that...
She was the mastermind. Broke.
Not just that, but yes, it was her idea. She, if you look at the emails or whatever, you know, she was the one that was pressuring him. But I'm talking about, he was telling everybody that she was the one that cut his throat.
Yeah.
So she did that.
Yeah. But she was convicted of murder.
Yeah,
but
that's what
but
I'm saying. Like,
the law.
It makes me so mad that they didn't get nothing.
Yeah.
Or she did it. She's not living her best life.
Yes, it's just because of her age, which that's like a lot of people. I mean, just there's like a limit as to how much time a minor can get. You know what I'm saying? So it's...
And this last part, I don't really understand why she was the only one that got charged and not everybody that was in the car with them. I think it's because she was the one that kicked out the plexiglass and...
Probably so.
Stole all the pens and papers.
She sucked. The accessory to murder charge against the couple's friend, KC, was dropped. And she pled guilty to obstruction charge in the Medicine Hat Provincial Court. She received 1 year of house arrest and was ordered to refrain from drugs and alcohol. Probably because she was stealing the pens and the paper.
And acting belligerent.
And acting crazy. And again, I don't understand that stuff either. Like, going to jail, it's like, just go to jail, do what you gotta do, and get out. Don't be acting crazy, kicking out windows and stuff. Like, all you're doing is giving yourself more time.
Because there was Jenny, there was Kaylee, and there was Mick. I guess because she was driving, maybe?
Maybe.
It was her truck? I don't know, but I just thought that was weird that she got...
I don't know. So. But this was a...
That case, though.
This was a whirlwind of a case.
Yeah.
It was so sad. And
broke my heart.
It was so heartbreaking because...
When it's a kid, it's... So sad.
Yeah, when it's a kid being killed, that's
ultra
sad.
I mean,
he was very young and everything. It was more sad to me because they had a good family.
Yeah.
They had such a sweet, you know, platonic, you know, family that we all want.
Right, a lot of people don't even get that. Like, Jeremy didn't get that.
Yeah, but then it's like, why would you... Y'all could have made it work. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you could have made it work, but at the same exact time, you're 23, she's 12.
Which is, okay, and here's my point, and I'll probably make this point or whatever. Think about it. She's 12. You don't even know that y'all are staying together. Of course, you're like, oh, I'm in love. But you don't even know. I mean, even from like your 18th senior in high school, you don't even know. It's hard to say that if you marry your high school sweetheart, that y'all are going to stay together forever. It sometimes doesn't last because sometimes, for me, it was like from 20 to 25, like I completely changed. You know, I wasn't the same person that I was as a teenager. And as a teenager, I wasn't the same person I was at 12. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all this was for naught. You know what I mean?
It's crazy because, you know, because, like, you, at 12, you should be trying to enjoy the best years of your life. You know what I'm saying? You're about to be
that
a teenager, and then, you know.
Right.
You know, enjoy those years.
That's
like
your
stop
last...
growing up so fast.
Right.
That's my big thing, is my kids growing up too fast.
Yeah. That's like the last hurrah. That's right before you turn.
Last hurrah.
Really, you're a preteen. You're not even a teen. Your last year under a teenager, and it's just like, it's just sad.
Yeah, it's just dumb because, like, these are the years that you're supposed to really enjoy, you know what I'm saying? Become a teenager, then you're gonna, like, go through high school and stuff, you know, proms and all this stuff. You missed out on all of it. And for what? Just
because they wouldn't let you see your boyfriend that was a bad influence on you.
Bad
anyway.
Influence. 13 freaking years. I mean, 11 years older than you, in which you didn't even need to be talking to a dude First of all, let me reverse that. He didn't need to be talking to a girl that young because he needed to date people his own age. I'm sick of y'all men dating these little teeny boppy teeny bopping teenagers.
And women, did you look at the whole, what is Mary Kay thing? All those teachers screwing around.
Yeah.
Anybody that dates somebody underage from the kid, why? What is that person going to offer you? Stability?
Hello.
They can't even make their own dinner. They're probably not even allowed to touch the stove.
Not even allowed to touch the stove yet. Like, what are they, that's, I've always wanted to know that. Like, what do you see in somebody that's underage?
Right. Like, and not just underage, but people that are in prison.
People in prison.
The people getting walked off. Yeah, because they're messing around. What are these people going to offer you?
Especially all these women getting walked out of these units.
Yeah.
For messing with an inmate. Like, they have nothing to give to you. Yeah. Maybe commissary.
They're going to share their burrito with you.
Yeah, they're going to share their burrito with you.
Right.
But
that they made from the commissary chips and stuff. Bread.
Yeah, they probably going to share with you. But
And their toilet wine.
it's so stupid. Like, I mean, they have nothing. And I've definitely had this conversation with Montera.
Yeah.
And don't forget, Montera will be on this podcast in, like, maybe a couple weeks when we do the Malia Davis case, okay? Because that one's just heartbreaking. But we actually had the same conversation because it was so stupid how women get walked off the unit. And it's more women than men getting walked off units.
Yeah. Because they get men are just there. They have all that time to think up all the lines.
Yeah.
The funniest story, whenever I started my job, you have to go into class and they're like, basically we're in with all the people that are on the units. I'm not on the unit, luckily. Anyways, they said, listen, ladies, do not be tricked by these men that have all this time to think about the game. They haven't seen a female in a while. Don't go in these units thinking that you're just Beyonce and just everything. Because if you cannot go to a club on Friday and pull all this thing and people say you're sexy, don't think you can come in here and it change. You're still ugly.
What? She's saying still ugly. Whoa.
Because these men will come in and tell you, oh, you're so beautiful. I would do anything to make you mine.
But the thing of it is, and I get it. I mean, some of these men that are in prison are fine as hell. They are, like, super fine. But at the same time, you have to think about it.
Yeah.
They haven't seen a woman in forever.
Right.
So they probably are sleeping with some of these men in this. Oh! You know what I'm saying? They're like, me and another friend were talking about it. We were like, she was working at a unit. And she was with this girl. And this girl cried all the time. Because, you know, she was kind of scared to be like a correctional officer. But at the same time, you can't be scared doing something like that.
Yeah.
So the girl gets walked out for sleeping with an inmate. And it's so stupid because, like, I think she actually caught something. From this inmate. Which is so stupid. Like, you have to think. You always have to think about that.
Yeah.
Like, you are sleeping with these inmates, but again, these inmates are sleeping with other inmates.
Yeah.
And so they gonna give you something.
Yeah.
Like, you have to think about that. That is not sexy at all.
Yeah. So that's it. Like, we've talked too long. We could talk about this forever.
Ever.
Anyway, so all of our socials are gonna be posted, but you can find us on Facebook.
Definitely Facebook. And brand new, spanking new Facebook, The Sam and Ash Experience. On Instagram, Sam and Ash_EXP_podcast. Twitter, Sam and Ash, PODCA1. And if you have a listener tale, again, we're dying to do listener tales.
Or recommendations.
Or if you just have words of encouragement, you just wanted to say hello, hit us up. We'd definitely love to hear from you. It's samandash.exppodcast@gmail.com. So,
keep it classy.
Keep it sassy.
And don't get murdered.
Definitely don't get murdered.
Bye.
Okay, bye.